Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Saturday, October the 25th in the year of our Lord 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And I'm coming to you as if you're seeing this on YouTube. We're live from Franklin, Tennessee at the Seedbed Global International headquarters at 415 Bridge Street. And you can see I got my rally cap on today. It's actually in the evening when I'm recording this. And when I had the cap on the other way, there was too much shade. I don't have great lighting in here. So, you know, we do what it takes. The wake-up call, I'm not going to lie, it's a heavy lift. And 7 days a week is really too hard. But we're going to make it. It's going to be worth it for those of you who remember our encouragement to series. That's the mantra. You're going to make it, and it's going to be worth it. So I am ready to get back to a more reasonable, maybe 5-6 day a week pace, but we're in it to win it. We're going all the way to the finish line, 89 days in a row of the 89 chapters of the Gospels. And I appreciate your encouragement. I appreciate you doing this with me. I appreciate the opportunity to get to do it with you. I feel like we got a relationship, you and me, and we're going somewhere. We're waking up. We're rising up. We're lighting up, okay? And that's why we consecrate every day. Are you ready? Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He's here. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled, Love is a Battlefield. Thank you, Pat Benatar. On the practice of prayer and the power of God. Notice I didn't say on the power of prayer, okay? Prayer doesn't have power. God has power. Prayer is a means. A divinely ordained and orchestrated means of the grace of God to be released on the earth. But it's God's power, right? Okay, our text, our focus text. You've read Luke chapter 11, focusing in on verses 5 through 8. Jesus is teaching on prayer. You ready? Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Let's go gospeling. So the Father had to pick a moment in history to send his Son to save the world. He chose the dawn of the first century. This means God had to reveal the deepest mysteries of cosmology and theology to the race of sentient human beings he created in his image and to translate it into their cultural forms, meaning structures, and metaphors. And this so they could in turn translate it into their linguistic formats, languages, through all time going forward until such a time as when the Father sends the Son to the earth again for the grand finale. Another way of saying what I just said, the Bible is the wake-up call. Among other things I said. In today's text, and seriously, go back and read that paragraph again. It's saying a lot. In today's text, Jesus is revealing a profound mystery about the nature of how God accomplishes his purposes in the world through human agents in the midst of a cosmological war of God versus evil that's being played out on the field of a fallen creation. The mysterious way is prayer. And he's basically saying, as it relates to prayer, it's going to be super frustrating, very inconvenient, require extraordinary perseverance, supernatural faith, indeed, shameless audacity. And though far from true, much of the time it's going to feel like God is not listening and does not care. This is a first century metaphor, drawing off on the framework of hospitality in an honor-shame culture and meant to reveal to us the complex and often confounding nature of the cosmological war of God versus evil and how we are meant to join the fight. Some of you guys are saying, what did he just say? Please, go back and read it. Back up the tape. This is deep, I'll grant you, but we got to get this. And all that was just a setup. Now, I'm going to shift the midnight snack metaphor to a more pressing present day application. My friend, Betsy Cox, has come to me in the 11th hour of her life and death match against cancer. I can't help her, but I know a great physician who can. I'm on my way to his house because it's after midnight now. When I get there, I'm going to bang on the door until my hands bleed. And I'm going to shout at the top of my lungs outside his door until my voice gives out. We are pleading the atoning blood and healing wounds of Jesus Messiah as the chemotherapy cure of heaven into Betsy's very body. We are asking for this at the level of a sign to the unbelieving world that they would turn to Jesus and place their faith in him, that they would awaken to the purposes of God for their lives now and be saved for eternity's ages. I wrote some days back of the need to keep the big picture in mind in the face of the battles we currently fight. We will win some battles and we will lose some battles. everyone won't be healed in the way we hope. In fact, anyone and everyone who is healed is going to ultimately die. None of us are getting off this battlefield alive. The thing to keep in clear view is this. Jesus has won the war. Newsflash. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? He asks us. So, what's the point of all this urgent pleading? Big picture, it's love. And in the immortal words of the 80s anthem by the great rock and roll legend Pat Benatar, love is a battlefield. We are waging the war of the love of Almighty God. This is the travail of love. This picture Jesus gives us when he's teaching about prayer, that it's going to feel like the lights are on, but nobody's home. We love the suffering, sick, and the poor. We love the hungry and the naked, homeless, demon-possessed, mentally ill, lost, and broken sons and daughters of Eden. They are us. We are part of them, and they us. And we don't love them because God loves them, as though an ethical ought to will get it done. No, we love them because Jesus himself is abiding in us by the Holy Spirit, who loves them in and through us with shameless audacity, literally, compulsively compelling us by his compassionate love. This, friends, is the meaning of life, to give yourself away in love to as many other people as you can. And that's what Jesus is doing in us. Gosh, there's so much more that I've got to say about this, but I've got to stop. Maybe I'll say a couple more things now, but let's pray right now. You ready? Lord Jesus, thank you for Charles Wesley, who wrote, "Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art." Even if the one we love is not healed like we hope, love never fails, because love and the act of love always heals in some measure. We travail in love also for the bigger reality of great awakening, that all may come to faith in Jesus and know this love that changes everything for all time and eternity. And we pray for Betsy Cox today. We just say, come, Holy Spirit, flow. Let the river flow of the atoning blood of Jesus like chemotherapy through her body, healing her, ridding her of cancer, making her well, raising her up. Let it be a sign to the unbelieving world that would turn hearts to you in faith. we're banging on the door, Jesus. We're coming through the fog of war and the confusion of this fallen creation, and it feels futile a lot of times, but we're not giving up. We're not giving in. We're not letting go. We're coming with all we have, Jesus, because of your love, in your love, by your love. Come on, Lord. Come on. Do it. Do it. Let it be. It'll be for your glory, for others' gain, and for our good. And the people of God said, Amen. The journal prompts. So I also have Susanna Donald, and Lad, my friend Lad Purrier. They're on my urgent knocking on my door and needing healing from cancer list. Who's on your list? I'd love you to put my friends on your list too, but you got a list and we got to, they're coming to us at midnight, and that means we got to get up, we got to leave our place, and we got to go to the house of love, which is the house of God. I mean, that can be just in the next room in your house, of course, but I think you're feeling what I'm saying. Are you encouraged to press through the fog of war and the confusion and complexity of the battlefield of this fallen creation? This is cosmology and theology. This coming from Revelation, Jesus has given us a pretty clear picture of what this is like, what it actually is like, what it's going to feel like, and what's the real truth. Shameless audacity. That's faith. Will you be listening to Love is a Battlefield today? I'm going to go pick up Pat Benatar on YouTube and listen to that song. And I'm just interested in you journaling on how do you reflect on all this today. You know, the Facebook page, the Wake Up Call Facebook page, it's open. It's such a beautiful community there and such a great conversation, such a gentle tone and a respectful order to it. Jump out there. There's been some great conversation this week. Okay. Man, I'm running out of time. And it's Saturday, and we got to sing. We're going to sing, I got to get the page number, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. It's one I alluded to in the prayer. It's number 88 in our seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Four verses. It's a profound hymn. Charles Wesley, it is among his very best, but it's the story of the gospel. He just unfolds it here. 1, 2, 3, 4 verses. Just that's a beautiful thing about a hymn. It's like you want to think about it. You want to feel it. You want to enter into it. You want to sing it. You want to get up and dance. So here we go. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find that second rest. Take away our bent to sinning. Alpha and Omega be. End of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above, pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Last verse. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen. Well, thanks for singing with me. I can't believe we're doing this. I can't believe I sing online every day, and I'm not even a singer, okay? But we're way past that. This is about shameless audacity, okay? That's what I'm going for, and I have a sense that many of you are going for it too. That's why I keep waking up with you. All right, there's a PS in the day's email. You need to get this email. If you're watching this on YouTube, you don't know about the email, go to seedbed.com/wakeupcall. Sign up for it. It's full of Easter eggs every day. In the PS today, I list two resources that I think will really, they're on point with this post. One is a book on prayer that I wrote, not your warm and fuzzy book on prayer. It was a wake-up call series years ago. It's cosmology, it's theology, it's revelation, it's powerful. The Lord just led me in it. I went through the whole Bible. Genesis 1 started and wrote on prayer. And finally, I just had to stop. I didn't even finish, but that's how most of my books are in sermons. I just have to jump out of the plane with a parachute because I can't land it. The second book is on healing. It's by Steve Siemens, mentor of mine. I mean, I pressed him, longtime friend. Just, I was persistent, like, Steve, you got to write your work on healing. It's called Follow the Healer, a biblical and theological, understanding of healing in the Christian faith. Best book I've ever read on healing. We published both of these at Seedbed. I put the links in the email. Grab them. There's videos from Steve's work. I mean, good gosh. He's a professor of doctrine and theology, retired now from Asbury Seminary. Giant of the faith. Okay, I'm over time. I know. I see you Saturday. Just take rest today. Rest today. I'll be driving back to Gillette all day. Pray for me. Got a wedding tonight, guys. I've got church on Sunday. Got to get up and preach. I need your prayers. I'm in a bit of an unsustainable pace, and I know I can't sustain it, but I can't stop, right? There's times in life like that. You just got to keep getting up. You got to keep going. I need your prayers. I love you. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walton.